Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Crassie Twigg from the Global Jigsaw podcast, where we are asking, 10 years after the start of the war in Yemen, where do the warring parties stand? This battle between rival camps in the Middle East has reached a stalemate. Is there a way out? The Global Jigsaw looks at the world through the lens of its media, getting past the narratives, the propaganda and the disinformation. Find us wherever you get your BBC World Service podcasts.
For the past few months, I've been investigating a particularly cruel crime. It's called the blessing scam, and it plays on superstition and exploits people's love for their families. Victims are tricked out of their money and possessions, and they're left wondering, how did that happen?
I don't know why I did it. I really cannot tell you why.
Like another elaborate scam I reported on for the last series of BBC Trending, the targets are people in the Chinese diaspora. Both the crooks and their victims are middle-aged and older women with Chinese heritage living in the West. And while this crime isn't exactly new, in the past year there have been a wave of cases in the US, Canada and Britain. Now a social media activist is fighting back.
From launching it, I started to get loads of different messages across the UK about this incident happening to different people. It just went crazy.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Elaine Chong from BBC Trending, and this is The Curse of the Blessing Scam. In some ways, the blessing scam is an elaborate piece of criminal street theatre. There's a well-rehearsed script that's acted out for an audience of one, the unsuspecting victim, like Meng Ni.
I was on my way going to yoga, walking towards Harrow Road, that's where the yoga centre is. At the traffic lights on Harrow Road, one lady just touched my arm and I jumped. And then she spoke in Cantonese.
The Chinese woman who stopped Meng Ni on a West London street introduced herself as Miss Lee. She was crying.
And she says, oh, do you know a Mr. Cole? He's a healer. My husband is very sick and needs his help. You know, he's going to die if he doesn't get treatment.
Just as Meng Ni was explaining that she hadn't heard of Mr. Ko, a second Cantonese-speaking stranger appeared and joined the conversation. She said she was called Miss Chan. Did she know this traditional healer?
Miss Chan said, yeah, actually I do. I know the way to the healer's the home. It's down this way. And she said, you come with me because this lady approached you first.
But you don't know these women.
I don't
why
know.
Why would you want to go with them?
Because Miss Lee kept pleading with me, saying, oh, have a good heart, you know, we're helping somebody else, you know, just keep me company.
Meng Ni says her curiosity was aroused because the women appeared in such awe of the healer's abilities.
I went with them and I thought, okay, never mind. This is my second attempt trying to go to yoga and it's unsuccessful. I said, maybe it's not meant to be.
As the three women walked off to a quieter street, Miss Chan spotted someone she said was the healer's granddaughter, Miss Ko. Don't worry too much if you're a bit confused keeping track of all of these names. After hearing about the sick husband, Miss Ko agreed to seek her grandfather's help. Meng Ni says she and the other two women were told to wait in the street while Miss Ko disappeared around the corner. When she returned, she had troubling news. Through his mystical powers, the healer had apparently discovered Miss Lee's husband wasn't the only one in danger. He miraculously seemed to know all about Meng Ni, her marriage problems, the pain in her right leg, things Meng Ni says she hadn't mentioned. And Miss Ko said the healer had also worked out the cause of her misfortune.
At the age of 51, you step on some dirty stuff. You know, in Chinese terms, dirty stuff means dirty spiritual stuff. You step on it, so it's affecting your health, your family. You know, that's why you have pain running down on your right leg.
Stepping on dirty stuff is an expression that basically meant Meng Ni had somehow offended an evil spirit, which was now sending her bad luck.
And then she says, and with your son, something is going to happen to him within these 3 days. He's going to have an accident and he's going to die immediately. I jumped and I was like, in tears. You know, how could something bad like this? So she put the fear in me. Then she says, yeah, you know, but Mr. Cole can, the healer can help.
Meng Ni says she was told the healer could bestow a blessing that would protect her adult son, but certain items would be needed to make it work.
You need to take a handful of rice, put it into a plastic bag, and put in as much gold as you can, and then also as much cash as you can.
Meng Ni says she had been persuaded her son was now in imminent danger, and she felt reassured by the promise that her valuables would be returned to her after the blessing.
You never ever have to take out. It's just for prayers, for the blessing. So I thought, there's no harm. You know, I'm not going to lose it.
Accompanied by one of the women, Meng Ni rushed home and collected all her jewellery, then to the bank to withdraw more than $5,000 from her savings. It all went into the black plastic bag. Miss Ko was waiting in the same street when they returned. She said that the healer wouldn't be coming, but that he already said prayers for Meng Ni. All that remained to do was the ceremony, in which the plastic bag was placed in another bag with some medicine so the blessing would take effect, then handed back.
It was quick as a flash. Her hands are so nimble. I didn't see anything. So when I went straight home, I thought, yeah, let me take out my jewellery. And inside the black bag is just a brick, piece of cake, 2 bottles of water. Yeah, that's when it just turned cold. And then I just told my son, I said, I think I've been conned. I've been scammed.
Some of the items stolen had been in the family for generations.
I've carried this jewellery with me for 40 years. And then now suddenly it's all gone in the, you know?
You may be struggling to understand how Meng Ni could be tricked like this and why she placed so much trust in strangers she had just met. Well, so is Meng Ni.
I don't know why I did it. I really cannot tell you why. You know, maybe because they put the fear in me that something's going to happen to my son, and all logical thinking got thrown out. Chinese people are a little bit superstitious in some ways, you know, because of my upbringing, and you hear stories as well. So, yeah, it could be. I'm a little bit superstitious.
Meng Ni's experience is a textbook example of a blessing scam. The victims I've spoken to all tell strikingly similar stories, from the distraught stranger to the evil spirits threatening a relative. Even the name of the fictional healer is the same in many cases. In my last trending investigation, I looked at scammers who pretend to be Chinese police to extort money out of Chinese people living in the West. They sometimes groom their victims for weeks before demanding any money. The blessing scam is much faster. In Meng Ni's case, the whole con only took about 3 hours from beginning to end. Lisa Mills is senior fraud manager with the charity Victim Support. She says the setup is designed to reel victims in quickly.
I think this particular scam is so successful because you are getting people that mirror you in terms of, you know, they look like you, they're female, you know, they could possibly be of a similar age to yourself. They are speaking your own language. It's a gentle introduction, and then they will be working up, won't they, towards, well, this is what needs to happen next. And then if another person joins the scenario, you already feel at ease with that first person. So you're not necessarily seeing any red flags that make you walk away.
Reports about the blessing scam seem to have first surfaced in Hong Kong around the start of this century. It's since spread across the Chinese diaspora, with police in the US and Canada both issuing warnings over the past year. Anchi Shen is a law professor at Northumbria University in the north of England. She's also a former Chinese police officer. She believes the blessing scam is the latest example of a centuries-old tradition of street crime that exploits spiritual beliefs. It's well known within the community that older Chinese people are likely to keep cash and certain valuable items within easy reach at home. And it's those things which victims are told to bring to be blessed.
Chinese people tend to keep some valuable jewelries, especially pieces made of gold, silver, jade. Themselves are believed to hold protective powers. So it is commonly believed that valuable items which have been blessed offer even greater protection. And I think that also plays an important role in this crime.
Coming up, are the scammers just relying on psychological manipulation? Or could something even more sinister be involved? This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Krassi Twig from the Global Jigsaw podcast, where we are asking, 10 years after the start of the war in Yemen, where do the warring parties stand? This battle between rival camps in the Middle East has reached a stalemate. Is there a way out? The Global Jigsaw looks at the world through the lens of its media, getting past the narratives, the propaganda and the disinformation. Find us wherever you get your BBC World Service podcasts.
This is the documentary with me, Elaine Chong. And for BBC Trending, I'm investigating a confidence trick known as the blessing scam.
So the producer in me is trying to always fix something or find solutions.
This is Chue Van Huyn. She's a theatre and film director turned activist.
If you are a victim or know someone who's fallen victim of the blessing scam, please do contact me for a chat or assistance.
That's part of an Instagram video for Chue's Blessing Scams Victims campaign. Chue is how I first heard about this story. She got in touch after hearing my investigation about fake Chinese police. Chue says her campaign began after her elderly mother was scammed in May. Her mum was out shopping in East London when three women, playing the same roles, persuaded her that Tue's brother was threatened by evil spirits. Tue showed me CCTV footage she tracked down of her mum with the scammers. You can see her mum handing over a bag to be blessed. It was only later she discovered her valuables had been switched for bottles of water.
I understand that we're not going to get things back, but there is a possibility to prevent more happening and scaring the criminals into thinking that they can't do this.
As well as raising awareness, Chue says she's also fundraising to pay for counselling for victims.
There's this whole feeling of shame and guilt. Some of them haven't even reported it to the police.
Chue's mother didn't recall what happened to her until the day after. The experience hit her really hard. She can't explain how the crooks gained such a hold over her so quickly.
So it's really hard for me to understand the whole process. And, you know, they played on superstitious beliefs and spirits and ghosts. And, you know, my mum doesn't believe in that. I do. I do hold some superstitious beliefs. I don't believe it for a second that she believes that.
Chue wondered if something else might have been involved. She began to research if there was a drug that could have put her mum under somebody's influence, but also leave her lucid enough to gather valuables from hiding places around her home.
I kind of gleaned that it's a possibility that there's this drug called the devil's breath.
Chue's theory is really quite extreme. But then so is devil's breath, or scopolamine to use its proper pharmaceutical name. As its nickname suggests, it's a drug with a terrifying reputation. A 2012 Vice documentary branded it the world's scariest drug. Devil's breath is derived from a flower that grows in Colombia. And in the right dose, it can reportedly make people highly suggestible, temporarily compromising a person's free will. When Tue heard about the drug, it seemed to explain what she had seen in the CCTV footage of her mother with the scammers.
She just followed every instruction she was given to the point where she was like a zombie, but she was herself. Because with the devil's breath, you don't lose yourself. You're just very complicit to whatever is going on and you follow instructions very clearly. And that's exactly what happened to my mom.
But how plausible is this? Austin Landis is an American journalist in Colombia who has reported on how devil's breath is used by criminals there.
This is the Clínica Las Américas, a hospital and center for health specialists in the city of Medellín. Staff here are used to treating people who have been robbed or sexually assaulted under the influence of scopolamine. The number of cases tends to go up around payday and during city festivals. I spoke to toxicologist Dr. Hugo Alberto Gallego.
Criminals target those who are alone and may approach them pretending to help, but actually seeking to exploit them.
He says criminals most often slip the drug into a drink, but they may also spray it into a victim's face as a mist or perfume.
Well, methods they have used on the street include, for example, using a magazine or a book. They open it and ask the person for a direction, a phone number, or offer to sell them a book or a Bible. They bring the book or magazine close to the person. Another method is to offer soap, perfume, or an air freshener for a car or home. They open it and the person, upon smelling it, may start to feel the effects within a few minutes. When the person begins to notice the effects, they lose their will and comply. For example, the wife of a friend experienced this in a nearby neighborhood. They offered her something at the door and asked if she had cash. She said yes, and they asked her to bring it so they could keep it safe. She complied, but once the effect wore off, she wondered why she gave them the money. By then, they had already left. The criminal knows this, so they don't need to force or mistreat the person. The person just obeys. It happens the same way if the person has money in the bank. They might be asked to withdraw money and hand over their PIN number.
Initially, a victim may feel dizzy, but after effects can include memory loss and even complete amnesia. Recently, I've reported on a number of cases in which foreign tourists had their drinks drugged and then were robbed after arranging to meet women through dating apps. In the most extreme cases, some men have been killed.
Devil's breath has also been used in robberies in Ecuador, France, and Vietnam. But is it really being used to turbocharge blessing scams in Britain? Tué admits that there is no firm evidence to support her theory. The drug passes through the body very quickly, so it's difficult to test for, even if you know what you're looking for. Meng Ni, who we heard from earlier, also doesn't believe she was drugged. It's not clear how Tué's mother would have been given devil's breath, though Tué suspects it may have been sprinkled on her mum's coat, which the scammers stopped her from removing. Other victims have suggested they might have been hypnotised, but could it actually have just been skillful psychological manipulation? We just don't know. Meanwhile, warnings about blessing scams are circulating in British Chinese Facebook groups. In the comments, people are posting their own stories of being approached.
Hey, I thought I'd send you a voice note.
And Tué keeps updating me about sightings of suspects.
So they're operating in Romford today.
And there have been unexpected revelations. I asked my colleague Vivian Wong about blessing scams in Hong Kong, where she usually lives. And to my surprise, she told me she had been targeted here in London, not far from the BBC offices where I am now. So I showed her some of Tué's photos of scammer suspects. Okay, hold on. So this is one of them.
Yes, this is exactly.
This one, the second one.
Yes.
What about them?
Yes.
These two as well?
This another lady. Yes.
The women were very insistent Vivian accompanied them to see a healer, but she had a lucky escape.
Because from their expressions, they seemed very desperate, wanting me to go together with them. I suddenly had some gut feeling that something might be weird. And then so I said, no, I'm in a rush to go to work.
And then Vivian recognized even more faces in the photos.
And then these two women, they just tried to standing a little bit away and then tried to listen to us. But actually, finally, when I look back from the other corner, four of them, they were together.
So all four of these women you met, these were the exact same four back in January?
Yes.
As I'm recording this now, the scammers are still at large. But Meng Ni says she hopes the law catches up with them soon.
But what annoys me a lot as well as these people are conning their own people. And I told the police, I'm willing to do anything to catch these people, because these people need to be stopped.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Elaine Chong from BBC Trending. My thanks to producers Ed Main and Marta Palzili. Our editor was Flora Carmichael. If you'd like to get in touch, my email is elaine.chong@bbc.co.uk. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
What are people around the world doing to help tackle the climate emergency?
Climate shocks that we are experiencing.
Droughts, floods, decimated agriculture and so on.
The Climate Question from the BBC World Service looks for answers to those challenges posed by climate change.
How can we solve this?
It's all being discussed.
We only hear the bad stuff in the news, don't we? And there's loads of quiet progress.
Reasons to be hopeful.
Solutions exist. We just need to be able to implement them at scale.
The Climate Question. Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.